Because we had a time of confession earlier in the service, I'm going to go ahead and start this morning with a confession. There's a movie that I really enjoy watching. It's one of those movies that you see on. It seems like it's on, you know, fairly frequently. And often when it's on, I'll just go ahead and, you know, if I'm channel surfing, I'll kind of camp out there because I just really enjoy watching this movie so much. And I don't want you to laugh, but it is Disney's Cinderella. See, you laughed. Not the animated bippity-boppity-boo version, but the dramatic real-life version that they made a few years ago. I'll see it on sometimes, and Carrie will say, how many times have you seen that thing? You know, haven't we seen this before? But there's a reason I love it, because there's something in it that you don't see too frequently in movies today. And that's innocence and purity. And I love that about it. You know, it used to be that 70s, 80s, they'd remake fairy tales and they'd think they were being so cant and clever by throwing in stuff that was sometimes just garbage and trying to be funny. But in this, they just stick to the story. And it's a beautiful fairy tale. And I love it. And I know maybe it sounds a little funny, but, you know, think of the culture that we live in today. Think of how many things have been tainted. How many things. And I, you know, it's easy to look at this or that thing, you know, the advent of technology, etc. But also so much good has come from that. The truth is, it's the human heart, right? But oh, can we not look at our country and say that to be the number one purveyor of pornography in the world is not a good thing? I mean, the effects, again, I've been a pastor for three decades, and the effects, the destructive effects on hearts and minds and marriages of this stuff. You know, real purity isn't a self-righteous kind of thing. That isn't purity at all, because self-righteousness is always, right, self-focused. I'm going to take a drink of water here. I'm sorry. This is the fifth time I've preached in the past 4 days, so that's why. What C.S. Lewis wrote about fairy tales, though, shed some light on some important things. Here it is. He said, when I was 10, I read fairy tales in secret, and would have been ashamed if I had been found doing so. But now that I'm 50, I read them openly. And then he quotes scripture, when I became a man, I put away childish things, including the fear of childishness and the desire to be very grown up. So guess what? I love the Cinderella movie. Deal with it. C.S. Lewis, G.K. Chesterton, Tolkien, they all wrote that fairy tales were powerful. We love them. They speak to us because they speak of longings deep inside of us, actual truths embedded in our souls, truths that we were meant for, that there is good, that there is evil, that happily ever after is a real thing. And that's where we come to our scripture. Here it is, just a few short words from Jesus. Words that point our hearts to their true home. Let's read them together. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Now, today's message is entitled, How to Have a Happy Heart, because happiness is at the heart of this. You may know that the word translated blessed also can mean happy in the Aramaic or in the Hebrew. Blessed is a better word because it implies the intended vertical relationship with God that results in our happiness, so that's why it's usually chosen. But happiness is also a part of that concept. So make no mistake about it. Jesus wants you to be happy. But I don't say that with a white-toothed, big-haired, smiling preacher kind of idea about it. It's about so much more than me, right? So much more than us, than self-focus. When Jesus says he wants you to be happy, he means it. But that's not what the world would persuade you to believe. It would say, make happiness your God. Oh, subtly, not directly, but it says it. Make happiness your God. Make your own happiness the priority of your life beyond all things. And people do. We've been wired this way since the fall. And there's a huge problem with this kind of living. If you live for happiness, if you really make it your goal, you will never be happy. We all know that because we've tried it. We all know it because we've been kids on Christmas morning who wanted that Red Ryder BB gun or whatever it was so badly, and then you got it, and after a while, and some people never move beyond this. They've got to have the next car. They've got to have the next boat. They've got to have the next house. They've got to have the next husband or the next wife. We know a woman who, a little over a year ago, walked out on her husband, left a marriage of over 30 years. And a few days ago, she posted this statement on Facebook. Staying in a relationship just because you love somebody is not worth it. Love is not all you need. Happiness is what you need. Knowing every day that you're their favorite person is what you need. Learn to love yourself instead. Now, this is sad on so many levels, because it's filled with so many different half-truths. Some years back, Whitney Houston sang a song with the lines, learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. And it's brutal, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. Look where that got her. And look where it gets so many in our culture. And yet we idolize this kind of lifestyle. If I could do an Australian accent for lifestyles of the rich and famous, I would, but I can't. You know, when we make our own happiness the goal of our lives, everything just collapses under the dead weight of living for ourselves. I think the reason for that is that we were meant for something more. And if we can loosen our grip on life and humble ourselves long enough to get close to what Jesus is saying here, we'll step into that place. Blessed. Happy are the pure in heart. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to be pure? Some look at these words and they look at them in the original language and they say, okay, what this means is living with singleness of purpose for God. And that's true. That really is true. Loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. That is all part of this. But I think that there's more going on here as well. We have to remember who is saying these words and what he did for us. That being pure in heart isn't just about what we do. It's about who we are. Think of the expression, who you are speaks so loudly that I cannot hear what you are saying. I mean, the truth of the matter is my relationship with God, living for God with singleness of purpose, is going to change me through his mercy, through his grace. And so we've got to ask questions that are extremely unpopular today. Like, whatever happened to purity? And I'm not talking about some moral crusade here. I'm talking about our own individual lives. It has to start there. What Jesus is talking about here is something that we should run to, something we can embrace and pray for in our lives. It's the purity of innocence found, going back to Eden, becoming childlike again, restoring that which was broken, our very relationship with God. Oh, we can run to this. Because God, think of the parable of the prodigal son, which really is a parable about all of us. Luke 15:20, when he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion and ran to him and threw his arms around him and kissed him. So what that means is it doesn't matter where you have been. It doesn't matter what you have done. By the grace of God and by his kindness, purity is possible, even for us. Jesus said that anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And Jesus, in his love, was called what? Title he used for himself. Title the Pharisees gave him. You remember? Friend of sinners. Friend of sinners. But he is such a friend. And this is the area where we so often miss. Well, because Jesus is a friend of sinners, oh, I mess up. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Really? Is that the kind of friend you want to be to God? I mean, isn't that what we do? I'm preaching to myself here just as much. So God will forgive me, you know? Hey, it's just a little dalliance over here. Little click of the mouse on the internet or wherever else it may take us. Wherever else self-focus drives us, could be anything. Think about the Apostle Paul. You know, here's a man who was so transformed. I mean, he was described at one point in his life as breathing out threats. Breathing out threats. And then later he writes 1 Corinthians 13. And he's so imbued, so filled, empowered by the Spirit that his entire way of thinking is transformed. And it goes to an entirely new place. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And Paul would write the church in Philippi, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And what does he add after that? And the God of peace will be with you. So there's an emphasis on the presence of God in both places here. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And do these things. Focus your mind in this way, and the God of peace will be with you. God loves it when we long for purity. He loves it in such a way that he will draw near. Remember, this is the beauty of Jesus. This is the beauty of the friend of sinners. This man welcomes notorious sinners and even eats with them. And he does it so he can change us and save us and transform us. So he can clean us through the washing of his Spirit within. This is for you. This is for me. And he will help us live with new purity and know the real happiness of it. Now, it may take time. Sometimes we have besetting sins in our lives that are a daily battle. And it may take years, but step by step, as we stay with him, he will bring us into that place where you look back and years later you can say, by the grace of God, I'm not the person who I once was. And think about this language of seeing the Father. You know, Jesus spoke of if someone loves me and obeys my commands, the Father and I will come with to them and make our home with them. And you see this kind of thing again all over Scripture. The God of peace will be with you. You know, the pure in heart will see God. I don't just think that's a then kind of thing. I think from these other evidences, you see that this is something that can happen here and now. That you and I will begin to see God in ways that we never have before, as we're living on this earth. You know, one of the rabbinical teachings from a couple of centuries before Jesus was born was that when one of the prophets, a prophet by the name of Zechariah, was stoned to death, and this happened right in front of the king, right within the temple, it was said that the religious authorities could no longer see angels. That you know, previously they had been able to see angels. They never saw them again after that. And I wonder, what is it that God would have us see if we just take that step? If we just say, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going there in my words, for example. How easy it is, you know that, to go down that road of bless your heart. But the God of peace will be with us if we do this, because he knows how to give good gifts to his children. And so the question is it worth it to set this stuff aside? And the answer is, if you want more of him, and he is the author of joy itself, how can we do anything less? So let's bring this home. First, purity is a gift we receive from God. It's not something that you and I can make happen. I mean, we have to follow through obedience, but this is something that God does for us. And I love what James, the brother of Jesus, wrote. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. One of the things I love about that verse is the without finding fault part. So, Lord, I'm struggling in this area of my life, and I need wisdom, and I'm just stuck, you know? Stuck on stupid, as Dave Ramsey likes to say. Lord, help me out of this. Help me out of this. And he gives generously to all without finding fault, like Dave Ramsey or James Manx or any other human being. That's the beautiful thing. So that brings us to the second truth. The impure can be pure again. Our hearts and minds can be washed clean by the Spirit of God. But we have to want it. And the only way to get it is by clinging to Him. And that means that we will have to make sacrifices sometimes. We will have to stop our thinking in a particular direction, or stop our mouths mid-sentence, or look away when we want to look. It will be a battle. But He will help us as we call out to Him in the moment. He will help us. You know what didn't happen in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3? What didn't happen, we talked about this before. Robbie brought it up first. I thought it was such a good point. Never forgot it. What didn't happen was when the tempter came to Adam and Eve and said, hey, you know, do this. You'll be like God. Do this. Oh, this will be so good. This will be so, you will be so fulfilled. Oh, this is your identity. The one thing that they didn't do is run that by God first. But it's amazing when you do that. I mean, it's like turning on the light and it's that time of year, roaches scatter, right? I mean, you turn on the light in that place in your life and you say, God, here it is. Help me. And man, all of a sudden, you're going to find that power grid where you're like, man, I'm going to go in this direction, goes, because all of the power that you need to go in another direction, if you call on Him, will come. You know, I this is where God's Word is so important. Look at this from Ephesians. Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word. Oh man, sometimes we need our minds scrubbed. And that's the beautiful thing. That's the work of the Spirit. You know? The work of the Spirit can do that. And Scripture speaks of being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that takes, I think, all of our lives. Finally, the result of the pursuit of purity in our lives is deep, abiding happiness and closeness to God. Now, I have a gallon water bottle, and I want to just go out and fill up that gallon water bottle and pour it into your gas tank. Would you mind if I do that? You wouldn't want me to do it, would you? Why? I mean, it would be so fulfilling for your gas tank. The engine won't run with it. Why? Water doesn't burn, so why won't the engine run? It's not what it was made for. It wasn't what it was designed for. And we run our hearts and we run our minds so often on the wrong kind of fuel. But the designer says, blessed, happy are the pure in heart. I mean, this is the high octane stuff. For they shall see God. I have a grandson who's 4 years old, and year by year as he grows, you know, you see a little of that innocence lost. Just part of living in this world. But the other day he asked me, Grandpa, why don't you have any hair? And when I simply told him that I had lost it, he said, I'll give you some of mine. I love that. I love it. Because it shows the beauty of selflessness. And it shows that, you know, if we see beauty in that, doesn't it mean that our hearts, our lives are meant for these things? One of the things he still does, and if you have small children in your life, you've seen this and you've treasured this, and that's the Nike dance. You know it, you know, fresh and clean, right out of the tub, drop the towel, bolt through the house, life is good, filling the house with joy and laughter. That's a good thing. You have small children, oh, you love it, come on. And this is how life really was meant to be. Lived clean before God who knows us. Remember the question God asked Adam after the fall? Right after he asked, where are you? You know what the other question was? Why are you hiding? Who told you you were naked? The farther our steps away take us, the greater our despair. But for real freedom, freedom that He alone can give, freedom to run barefoot through the house of God, filled with life and laughter, with little thought to ourselves, happy, happy and pure. Those who run to God and ask Him to clean them up and stay close to Him really will, by His grace, live happily ever after. May we pray. Lord, you know us. And you love us. And you came to save us and set us free. And Jesus, you said, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Oh, Father, keep us from bondage to these things that would break our hearts and keep us in sadness when what you have waiting for us and what you have for us here and now in you is joy. Lord, thank you that you offer us this incredible thing. Protect us, we pray. Deliver us from the evil one in this. And help us to long for you most of all, our beautiful Savior. The purity of life and love, the cleansing of our hearts through your Spirit, all of these things that, oh, you long to work in us. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you came to do this for us, if we will have it. Will you have it from him? Will you tell him, yes, yes, Lord, I want to be pure in heart. I want to see you, Abba, Father. Will you ask him, Lord, would you clean me up through what you did for me at the cross? Will you wash my mind and my heart and my soul through your Spirit? Will you fill my mind with the thoughts of your word and that which is good and pure? And bring me out of darkness into the light. Lord, I want to be your child. Pray that and mean it, and he will do it. Because he has promised everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And Lord, thank you that even when we wrestle, and when we already belong to you, and there are places where we stumble, that you, our good shepherd, will not leave us there. So fix our eyes on you. Thank you, Lord, for that. All that you have for those you call your very own. Lord, you are worth beyond words. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.